They swore a pact to the devil. They said, we will serve you if you'll get us free from the French. The devil said, okay, it's a deal. And they kicked the French out. But ever since, they have been cursed by one thing after the other.
You're dealing with a God who, judicially speaking, is a little crazy. This is like night court. He's just going and dismissing cases left and right.
What role does faith play in your life right now?
It's everything. It's everything. I mean, I grew up as a preacher's son. My father was a preacher for 50 years. Calling myself a God-fearing man, I got to read this book.
I guess you could say I got a little out of control. I dropped 400 grand on a bar mitzvah for my son. He's 9! And we're Lutherans!
Well, on this day, so many people taking off of work in honor of the memory of Martin Luther King Jr. Some of my favorite words written by an American were written by this man, my favorite words, in his letter to a Birmingham jail, where he talks about the church was once a thermostat and now has become a thermometer, and he bemoans the fact that the church had lost its prophetic voice in the social fabric of America. So much influence on the thinking of American people, on the legal structure that we have, on civil rights. Joining us on this Monday afternoon to talk about the right to life as a civil rights issue, Dr. Alveda King, the niece of the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this Monday afternoon, January the 18th. We'll spend the first half hour talking to Dr. Alveda King about the right to life as a civil rights issue, and then we'll discuss the Confession of St. Peter, remembered on this day by the Church, with Dr. Carl Fikancher. Dr. Alveda King is Director of African American Outreach for Priests for Life and founder of King for America. Dr. King, welcome back.
Todd, thank you. It's so great to join you today.
How would your late uncle view 37 years of legalized abortion in America?
My uncle, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., believed in a beloved community. You know, in the book over of 1 John, it said, beloved, let us love one another. And certainly for Dr. King, that would have extended to the baby in the womb, as well as those who are mature, elderly, or even infirm until natural death. And so he would have to be very grieved, but then also very motivated to preach the gospel more strongly, knowing that so many babies are being lost to abortion.
What do you think he would think about the first African-American president who is sadly pro-abortion?
He would encourage the president to change his position, to remember the babies. Of course, Dr. King would have loved the president, even in the midst of those decisions that he and the Congress of the United States continue to make to try to abort the babies. And so he would say to them, God put before us life and death and blessings and curses. Choose life.
Is the right to life a bona fide civil rights issue worthy of being included with all the other things that are considered basic civil rights?
Well, when we speak even of our own Constitution and the preamble and the Declaration and everything, we're entitled to, every American is entitled to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Everyone on planet Earth, every human being is entitled to life. That's a natural and basic and fundamental civil right. As a matter of fact, it's the first civil right.
I was thinking earlier about your late uncle's words that he wrote from a Birmingham jail, where he described the church that had once been a thermostat, setting the temperature with its moral and prophetic voice in society, now become a thermometer, simply recording the ambient temperature of society. What are your thoughts on that great insight?
I believe in that same letter he warned against infanticide, even as the Romans participated in an infanticide, and he said any culture or civilization that follows that practice is lost. And so now our barometers and thermometers have been put in the wrong measuring places, you know. We've got to go back to the human heart, and it must thaw out and be warm again. That stony heart must again become a heart of flesh, and America has to care again about its weakest. And right now, that really is the babies in the womb.
We've been watching over the last 20 years the number of Americans who regard themselves as pro-life. I don't know how that's defined, but they regard themselves as pro-life. And those who are willing to, at least in survey results, say that abortion is wrong. Those numbers have gone up. What are your thoughts on that hopeful sign?
It's a wonderful thing to observe. I read some polls today even. Some people are now saying that abortion should not be included in any health care plan, in any legislation, in any tax bills, anything that Americans have to pay tax for, should not include abortion. America now is at least 51% pro-life by definition. That, of course, can be different from different people. So that's very encouraging because we went through a season, a very dry season, where America was not primarily, the majority of Americans were not pro-life. They were not willing to say that they were. So that is a sign that the things are coming back to the Lord. There was a saying, I've been saying that the church can turn the tide, and many prophetic voices are saying that across America. And we see God's hand moving, and we see people being drawn back to God, and hearts turn back towards these little babies. So that is very encouraging. That means don't stop praying. Pray more. Don't stop talking. Talk more to your friends and your family and your community. Lift up Jesus and lift up life.
Dr. King, does abortion, does it particularly impact, disproportionately impact the African-American community?
It's interesting that you would ask that question. Of course, the abortion providers and the abortion community says, we're not targeting African Americans. There's a greater need because African Americans are poor and Latinos are poor. So we go into their communities and offer these health services that they cannot afford. And so my question becomes, you bring your clinics into the urban areas which are predominantly heavily populated by minorities such as African Americans and Latinos, and then you offer as therapeutic service abortion, which is really a death warrant for a baby, and very possibly something that is going to harm the body of the mother. And yet you say this is good and that you care and you're trying to help people. Well, death warrants for little babies do not help people.
When some people read those words that we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, they read that word life as merely the freedom to live your life as you would, the freedom to be unencumbered by too much governmental interference. They don't think about conception or birth. How would you correct their thinking?
We need to continue to remind people that life begins at conception, at fertilization, until natural death. And, you know, blessedly, science is on our side now, along with the ultrasounds. We've already known that it's a little baby. My pastor would always say, if it's not a baby, leave it there, and nothing will happen. So certainly we know that those are little people in the wombs of their mothers. The womb is supposed to be a sanctuary and not a tomb. And so we are encouraging people now to know, and to know that those are little babies, because, you know why a lie remains and seems to succeed. If a lie is told and truth does not confront it and correct it, then the lie continues to stand. And so it is truth that sets us free. You know, it's written that we shall know the truth and the truth shall make us free. So we have to speak the truth in love. Remember, we started out with, beloved, let us love one another. So that's not with judgment and finger pointing and hatred, but to encourage people to love each other and yet speak the truth in love.
Have you always been pro-life?
I've not always been pro-life. My family, my granddaddy, Martin Luther King Sr., of course, he's gone to be with the Lord now. My father, Reverend A.D. King. Our family primarily was pro-life. My mother, when she conceived me in 1950, actually wanted to get an abortion. She had heard from the Birth Control League, which later became Planned Parenthood, a woman has a right to choose what she does with her body, that no, there's no baby in your womb until the baby's born. Come and see us and talk to us. So she was pregnant, wanted to finish college. She had just started college, and her girls' college, you could not go to college and be pregnant if you were married or not married. So she didn't want a baby. My grandfather said to her, Naomi, they're lying to you. That's not a lump of tissue. That's really a baby. She's my granddaughter. I saw her 3 years ago, and he began to describe me and how I looked. And so actually, mother decided for life. Daddy stood with her, of course, and the family did. I was born, and Mom and Dad had four other children. But that remained a secret, all of that about Mom wanting to abort me and everything. The only thing that went down through the family, oh, your grandfather saw you in a dream, and you are so precious. And so we were primarily pro-life. In 1966, Planned Parenthood gave Martin Luther King Jr. one of the first Margaret Sanger Awards. He was one of the first to receive it. They lied to him. Remember, a lie that is told, if it's not challenged with truth, will stand. It's truth that defeats the lie. And so Dr. King did not go to the award ceremony. He did not receive the award. He did not read the speech. He did not write the speech. His wife attended and read a speech that someone else had written. If you read that speech and you read the words of Dr. King and you listen to his speeches and sermons out of his own mouth, you can see that he never would have written anything that says the most tragic thing in life is an unwanted child. That's what was written in the speech. But Dr. King, by his own words, had already said, he said, the law cannot make a person love me, but the law can keep a person from lynching me. And so certainly the law maybe can't make a mother want her baby, but it should not give her free license to kill her baby.
We're talking with Dr. Alveda King on this Monday, January the 18th. The right to life as a civil rights issue is our subject. Dr. King is the niece of the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., director of African American Outreach for Priests for Life and founder of King for America. When we come back, we'll find out why Dr. King has compared abortion to slavery, and we'll talk about the unborn and those at the end of life as our Christian neighbors. Be right back.
You can call it what you like. I call it mine.
Think big screens belong in the movie theater, not at church? Think garage bands should stay in the garage, not be jamming in front of the altar? Hey, we do too. Come join us at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, for services that are reverent and relevant, vibrant and traditional. Divine service on Saturday at 6 p.m., on Sunday morning at 7:45 and 10, with Sunday school and Bible class in between at 9. Join us. Not a big screen or garage band in sight. Promise.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I attended Sunday services in a beautiful Singapore Lutheran congregation. One local man approached me and asked with a pronounced Southeast Asian accent, "You live in St. Louis? You know Todd Wilkin?"
Pastor Matt Harrison reading from his new audiobook, Christ Have Mercy, How to Put Your Faith in Action.
Who? You mean Todd Wilkin? It turned out this man, half a world away, was a regular listener via the internet, and he's hardly alone. It really is a whole new day. We are witnessing the greatest free flow of faithfully Lutheran information in the history of the Lutheran Church. It is the worldwide moment for confessional Lutheranism. It is Missouri's moment.
You can download Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison at cph.org. It costs only $10.99 to download. This new audiobook is a must-listen for Issues Etc. fans. Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison, cph.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Monday afternoon, January the 18th. We're talking about the right to life as a civil rights issue with Dr. Alveda King, the niece of the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Dr. King, why have you compared abortion to slavery?
Many people, little children especially, get it. You see, the slave was just under the control of the master. The master could decide whether the slave would live or die, eat or not eat, and work or not work. And so that was a pattern with slavery. The little baby is like a slave in the womb of his or her mother. And the mom decides whether the baby lives or die. We can kind of look back on historic times. You know, there's been a lot of discussion in the last few days about a remark that was made about President Obama being light-skinned with a no Negro dialect unless he chose to have it. Well, the light-skinned, dark-skinned conversation comes from the days of slavery. In the days of slavery, you had the field Negroes who were dark ebony skin and had the dialect of the language of Africa blended with the language of America. And then you had what was called the house Negroes who had been inbred with the slave master, and therefore they were more fair in complexion and they could emulate the dialect of the slave masters. And so that's why you had the field Negro and the house Negro, the ebony skinned out in the field and the fairer skin in the house. And so when I heard that remark, I said, well, you know, the person who said that is pretty much saying that President Obama, of course, is a White House Negro, and that's not a good thing. But, you know, African Americans compare themselves using the same language, light skin, dark skin, but we're one human race. We're celebrating Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday today. And Dr. King talked about the beloved community, where human beings live together regarding each other. Beloved, let us love one another. The one human race, not the white race, the black race, the brown race, the yellow race. No, no, no. The human race. And so from the days of slavery until now, that has not been acknowledged. And so we're praying that the Lord will have mercy and cause us all to love each other as brothers and sisters.
Your uncle once wrote, "The Negro cannot win if he is willing to sell the future of his children for his personal and immediate comfort and safety." How do these words apply today to the abortion issue?
Every time I hear that statement, I'm reminded of my answering call in my heart. And as a niece of Martin Luther King Jr., many people have heard me say, "I have a dream, it's in my genes. I have a dream, it's in my genes." And so I have that same desire for the same beloved community that he desired. We cannot win if we're willing to sacrifice the futures of our children for immediate personal comfort and safety, which brings me to always ask the question, how can the dream survive if we murder our children?
Will you be participating later this week in the annual March for Life in Washington?
Yes, I will. As you know, the theme for the Martin Luther King holiday is a day on, not a day off. So those who are blessed to be off from work today, we ask that you do something for others today. Do a kindness, a service to others. And so as I come away from the Martin Luther King holiday going into the Right to Life and the March for Life holiday, I keep that. I want to keep in mind to serve the babies, to inform, educate, and to activate America to remember the little babies. I work within a movement. I'm a pastoral associate with Priests for Life over African American outreach. And one of my duties and responsibilities is to work with the pro-life, African American pro-life community, the African American pro-life movement. And together I'll be meeting with many members from that movement and members at large from the pro-life community and marching with the wonderful groups of people, including the wonderful young people who come every year. And so we're very encouraged. We're very motivated. This is a good season for reaching people with the love of the Lord and for life.
I once heard a great teacher say that our Savior Jesus defined the neighbor from the ground up, not from the top down. He defined the neighbor as in the parable of the Good Samaritan, as the one who can do the least for you, the one who cannot help himself, the one that cannot pay you back when you lend. That is how Jesus regarded us as neighbors, and that's how he would have us regard our neighbors, from the ground up, not from the top down. Does this apply also, you think, even to the unborn?
Yes, the message of the least of these. My father, a Baptist preacher as well, he's in heaven now with his brother, Martin Luther King Jr., his dad, Daddy King. They were all active in the civil rights movement. And one of their favorite things, of course, love. Beloved, let us love one another. But another was the least of these. And if we cannot care for the least of these, how can we say that we love the Lord? And right now, the least of these, those who cannot fend or fight for themselves, are the little babies in the womb.
It's regarded as a woman's movement. Reproductive rights is the term, a woman's right to choose, or it's my body. All of these slogans are pushed upon women very early in the American experience. Talk about, as a woman, talk about how abortion hurts women as well.
Well, as a woman who's tricked and coerced and manipulated, drawn away from the Lord and my family, tricked into getting abortions by listening to the rhetoric of Planned Parenthood and others. I had abortions, and I repented, of course, and was able to birth. I had one live child, two abortions and a miscarriage, and then five other living children, thanks to my grandfather and the baby's father who knew better. But with that voice, I was listening to, a woman has a right to choose. It's a woman's body. This is a woman's question. But today, as I look at that, I know that abortion hurts women. It hurt my own body, my own soul, my own spirit. It killed my babies, and I have regretted that, although I've been healed through a wonderful program called Rachel's Vineyard, and I'm Silent No More through the Silent No More Awareness Campaign. All of these come out of the Priest for Life Ministry for Life. But a woman has a right to choose what she does with her body. The baby is not her body. And actually, about 50% of the babies who are aborted happen to be little girls. So what does that say for women's rights? When you're killing little babies who can be women, who will be women when they're allowed to live.
Some might say it is simply hopeless to try and convince our president, President Obama, to change his views on abortion. What do you think, Dr. King?
There's a wonderful scripture. Is there anything too hard for God? Of course not. So we continue to pray for the president and to keep our hearts tender towards the Lord, always forgiving, but always being ready to speak the word in a good season, in season and out of season. So I say pray for the president and to be encouraged and to not be hateful, but to be hopeful.
Finally, then, make the case for us, Dr. King. Why is the right to life for all, from conception to natural death, a civil rights issue?
A civil rights issue, that's the first gift that the Lord gives to us, our lives. That's a beautiful gift, and every human being is entitled to that gift. And so life is definitely our first civil right.
When we remember your late uncle on this day, and we remember all of the great work that he did for his fellow African Americans, for America, and the words of his, so many of them that continue to ring dear in our hearts about the freedom and the liberty that we all share and should share, should we also include the unborn in those words?
We must include the unborn in all of the words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and we will always say, beloved, let us love one another. That includes those precious little babies.
Dr. Alveda King is niece of the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., director of African American Outreach for Priests for Life, founder of King for America. You'll find a link to Priest for Life at our website, issuesetc.org. Dr. King, thank you for being with us on this day.
Well, thank you so much, and God bless you.
In any country's existence, there occasionally rises someone who speaks far beyond their present circumstances. And I think Martin Luther King Jr. is one of those men. He had circumstances facing him as a civil rights leader, as a man thrust upon the American stage and given a voice and the American spotlight. He had a situation facing him that was, well, different than the world we live in today. We cannot imagine how different it was for African Americans and other minorities when he spoke words that at the time perhaps applied in the minds of those who heard them only to the issues of civil rights and who could go to school where, who could ride the bus where, or who could enter office or work where. But I think he knew well that the words he spoke to Americans in those days applied far beyond just the plight of African Americans. I think he understood well that the words he spoke about freedom and liberty and about one race and not many races and about one people and one America apply far beyond. If you're only concerned about your country, think about it this way. The future of America has been curtailed and truncated with 37 years of abortion. And we're talking about tens of millions of Americans who never saw the light of day, never grew up, never tasted the freedom that you and I enjoy, never saw the American flag waving on atop a pole, never sang the pledge, never spoke the Pledge of Allegiance, and never knew the freedom that we have, never worked, never paid taxes, never raised families. There have been economic results of this as well. All those Americans that could have contributed to the great economic engine that is America. And if none of that sways you 37 years after the legalization of America of abortion in America, think about this. These are voices of your neighbors that were never permitted to be heard, people who went unprotected in the very place where they should have been most protected, not only by their mothers and their fathers, but by their countrymen, by their fellow Christians. They are our neighbors. Let us protect them in law. I'm Todd Wilkin. When we come back, we'll discuss the Great Confession of St. Peter. Dr. Carl Fikencher will be our guest on this Monday afternoon, January the 18th.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
New Obama policy is new low for use of taxpayer dollars.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
The National Institutes of Health is ready to implement the Obama administration's policy on embryonic stem cell research. This marks an historic departure from our nation's long-standing position of neutrality on embryo-destructive research. For the very first time in U.S. history, the federal government will use taxpayer dollars to pay for research that relies on and promotes the destruction of human life at its earliest stages. Americans may disagree about the morality of embryo-destructive research, but one thing we should all agree on is that taxpayers should not be compelled to pay for it.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.